The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Gold's dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing change. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening to today's show. Today is Monday, Wow, the year is already blasted by. I was talking to some friends this morning. Said, man, the year is halfway gone. It's May 2nd, 2016, and we have a live show for you today. Looking forward to bringing you that live show. So before we get going, let me just check one thing. Scotty, are you there? Do you happen to be there, Scotty?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Scotty. I don't know. I sent two videos. I don't know if you were able to upload those too.
I must have missed them, man.
Yeah, that's okay. If you could get them, that'd be cool.
Okay.
If not, that's okay. So, you know what? It's so funny that this whole year is halfway over. It's already the fifth month of the year, so we're basically halfway through. Man, time is flying. I don't know about you guys, but this weekend flew by for me. But with that being said, let's get into today's show. And as always, we need to talk about supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Did you start your overall Feeding the Roots project with Black Talk Radio Network? This is something that I did this weekend, and talked to some other people this weekend, and they were going to do it. So it's something that we all need to take part of, and to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network is going to be on air. So you can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and get the crowdfunding digital black media. The crowdfunding program is right there. And with that program, for the first option, what you could do is for $24.99 or less, is option one. You can hit the donate button for that option. And with that, you can send, or you can send, pay you can pay via PayPal or by sending a check or money order to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. That is Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. And with that contribution from up to $24.99, all contributions are extremely, extremely appreciated. You will receive monthly statistic reports on the radio station's performance. You will also receive social media operations via the email for Black Talk Radio Network. So that is for $1 to $24.99. That's option one. Option two, if you make a one-time contribution of $25 or more, in addition to receiving the monthly email reports, you will get a free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift for your contribution. To get more, if you want two t-shirts, they come in increments of $25. So if you give $50, you get two t-shirts. $75, you get three. Four t-shirts, and you get $400, you get four t-shirts. And they are actually starting, they're being shipped out as we speak. And Scotty will give you updates from time to time on supply and everything else. Pretty sure that that's pretty good. Just make sure that you put the corresponding size to the order that you have. If you're going to get four t-shirts, if you need one extra large, two large, and one medium, make sure you say that and make sure your shipping address is correct. Next option would be option three. Become a monthly contributor of $25 or more in addition to receiving the email reports, your free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift. You will be eligible to receive gifts from the network as an appreciation for your financial support to Black Talk Media Project. So that is what you would need to do, and this is a great opportunity for you and I and everyone else that benefits from Black Talk Radio Network to actually support it. What I always like to say, don't just eat the fruit, you have to feed the root so that the fruit can continue to be brought forth. So you can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. The crowdfunding digital black media campaign is right there, and the donate button and the pay now button is right there. So everyone, please tell your friends, tell your family members about Black Talk Radio Network so this overall network can continue to grow and do the things that is so necessary. So with that being said, now we need to go to our Tando Radio Shows, THANDO Radio Shows Facebook page, and check out some of the things that we posted there. Some, man, this weekend was a typical May Day weekend. And if some of you aren't familiar with May Day, it's, you know, a very important in a lot of sectors and places, from the Roman Catholic Church to the Communist Party to all different things. There's a lot of things that happen on this day and this weekend proceeding up to it. And let me tell you, this weekend did not disappoint. There were some very critical things that were happening. But before we do that, my sister, Sister Davis, had called me on Friday, and I missed it. And then Team Davis was doing some family things on Saturday, so we missed. But they had posted something, and my sister, Melanie Payne, had posted something about something that they wanted to talk about. So Melanie, give us a call, or Sister Davis, give us a call. Let me know what that was all about, because I was kind of really busy this weekend, but I really wanted to know what you guys were looking at and what you guys were doing. I think that'd be good. Now, let me tell you guys something. It's so funny this weekend. Your boy got his account got his credit card got hacked, and I bust out laughing. Just thought about, wow, look how easy it is for this stuff to happen. So, but it all got worked out and everything else, but this is just where we are. So with that being said, pull up Tando Radio Show page. Let me get this down to where we're going and some things that we need to talk about before we get into the show. So everyone, if you
Brother
would
Dave,
like to
before you
follow
get
us
the show, I'm uploading the last video now. So but you may need to log out and log back into the web interface. if you don't see it.
Gotcha.
But it'll be uploaded by the time you get through okay. with your segment.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Scotty.
You're welcome.
Okay, so it was a lot that happened this weekend, and so we're going to do that, take a look at that. But everyone, if you'd like to follow us on Facebook until we get off of FedBook, which is going to be relatively soon here, check us out there. While you're there, check out the articles that we have posted there. And then, without a doubt, if you have any comments, please do it. Give us a like, share, and you know, all of those good things, so important. So let me go back to, let me start where we left off on Friday, and pick up from there some of the things that were posted. Okay, so I'm going to run through this real quick. We got plenty of time. Some important articles, some of the ones that aren't as important, which there really aren't any, especially this weekend, we're going to run through them. So let's go. Okay, the first article, China to build nuclear power plant for South Sea of China's paper says. That came from Reuters. I'm telling you, this whole thing is crazy. Next one, huge story as to where things is going. And I wrote, going to blow, folks, going to blow. China denies U.S. aircraft carrier visits amidst maritime tensions. The China has denied a U.S. aircraft carrier Stryker Group request for a port visit to Hong Kong next week amidst escalating tensions adjacent to the South Sea of China. When you start denying access by trade and by things of that nature, when trade stops, that's when war starts. And this is what's happening here. Next article comes from Reuters also. Update, first Italian bank bailout fund set to own 90% of populations. Whew. Check out that article. Next article. This one was a very, very important read. Why we must, but no, if this is from Prosperity, from Peak Prosperity. Why we're so unhealthy. And that's what this, it was here. It got kind of scrambled in the posting here. It says, why we're so unhealthy. That America in the throes of a systematic crisis, health crisis, no longer can be denied. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, more than two-thirds, 68% of adults are, and I believe that's in ill health. Check out that article. Next one. This is huge. This is a huge one. From Brexit, which means the British is leaving the euro, Brexit, to Swissic, means the Swiss is leaving the euro, the European Union. Will Switzerland follow if Britain exits the EU? Of course. Telling story. And this is definitely going to happen. Why? Because Switzerland and Britain are now aligning and doing trade deals with China. Which means that they are going to have to stop doing trade deals with the United States, which means that this is going to adversely affect you. No way around it. And we're going to talk about some of that today. Next one comes the war whose name no one dares to utter. Check out that article. Next, Jinping. Takes command of the People's Liberation Army. China's President Xi Jinping announced last week that he will take command of all of China's armed forces, including the People's Liberation Army. That's because, ladies and gentlemen, everyone is preparing for war. And it's not going to be what you've heard of war before. It's not going to be World War III. It's going to be GNW3, global nuclear war number one, excuse me, global nuclear war one is what we're going to be looking at, not World War III. Big, huge difference. So check out that article and you're going to see whether relevant to that. Next article comes from actingman.com. Gold and negative interest rates. The inflation illusion we heard more and more talked about possibly of imposing negative interest rates in the United States In a recent article, former Fed Ben Bernanke asked what tools, and I can't read the rest of it, it's there. Let me tell you something about negative interest rates. Of course they're going to do it. They are going to get you to buy what everyone else in the world is selling. Just for you to open up an account. You remember when you were growing up here in the great United States, when you open up a bank account, they said you should do it because it's FDIC, no longer, is there, but it can't protect you. And you will get interest. Lie, 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 especially now. You're not going to get interest. With negative interest rates, you pay the bank for holding your cash. This is where we're going. And it's time for you all to really get with what is happening and protect yourself and accordingly protect yourself and your family. So that was that article. Next article came from Bloomberg. Iraq declares Baghdad emergency as protesters storm parliament. Man, they're going to have another Arab Spring is going to jump off. Here we go again. It's going to lead to a revolution and instability. Next article, huge article, everyone. Puerto Rico delays some bond payments as default looms. Puerto Rico says its government development bank, which is operating in the state of emergency to preserve the dwindling cash, reached an agreement with some creditors. Puerto Rico, ladies and gentlemen, is in default. This means you are, and you're going to see more of this later on. Check out that article. Very, very important article. Most important article, one of the most important articles of the weekend, posted it yesterday. And my commentary is, this is going to be the trend here. Wow. I warned of this happening. Here it is, the article. Charles Schwab is now going to have a government money fund summary. And if you read what they said, they are going to have their clients purchase government securities. 95.5, no, what was it? Let me take a look at it real quick. This story was huge. Let me tell you something. If you don't prepare, then you will get run over by these people, because there is no way that you're going to be able to protect yourself. They're going to get you by what they're developing economically. The economic system, just by you doing nothing, if you just try to hide your head in the sand, if you just say, I'm not going to do anything, they're going to get you right where they want you. Now, here it is. And I'm going to read this real quickly. This is the Charles Schwab Government Money Fund. And the ticket is going to be SWGXX. Tell you everything. They're going to X out your economic existence. Here it is. The overview of WGXX. The investment seeks the high current income. Excuse me. The investment seeks the highest current income consistent with the stabilization of capital and liquidity. The funds will invest at least 99.5% of its total assets in cash, U.S. government securities, and or repurchasing agreements that are collateralized fully by cash and/or government securities. Under normal circumstances, at least 80% of the fund's net assets will be invested solely in U.S. government securities, including repurchases agreements. Excluding cash. What does that mean, everyone? They're going to make, and this is going to be the trend of all of the brokerage accounts and all the hedge funds and everything else. They're going to make you buy U.S. Treasuries and make you put yourself in the cash. Why? Because the rest of the world is selling it. I told and I said that this is an indication of how close you are to it all falling apart. And we are moving closer and closer to it. Why do they call it repurchasing? Because somebody else is selling it. Why are they putting so much? They usually put 80%, now it's 95, 99.5%. Man, what are you talking about? That's 100%. all in cash and securities, because they're going to make you go into default. They're going to make you feel the lion's share of the burden as to what's going to happen. And today's show is going to be just about that. This is why we're going to take a look at Cuba today. Because Cuba is the forward-looking glass of where you are going to be here in the United States. Why? Because you are going to buy what the rest of the world is getting rid of. You're going to buy not even their trash. You are going to buy their excrement. They are getting rid of everything. Why? Because they know where things is going and they want to make it. This here in this country, they're going to force you into it. This is why Scottrade told their Canadian clients that they had to close their open positions and close their accounts with them. This is where we are. Now's not the time to even call it conspiracy theory or second guess anything. These people are going to chop everything you have and take everything you have and enslave you even further if you just sit there and do nothing. They're going to run all over you. Why? Because they positioned themselves to do it, and they actually created the environment where you would have a sense of security and false sense of security to them. Because they have you going to them for all of your milk. And you've never weaned yourself from them. So you don't think that it's possible that it could happen. And this is what is all falling apart, falling into. This was a major event here. They are going to make people, and they're going to force people, just like they did MF Global. You think, well, I don't have a Charles Schwab account, but you're buying Charles Schwab's fund directly and indirectly. They're going to force everyone into it, especially those that have no clue of what's going. And at the appropriate time, you're going to try to use what you have, and you're going to find out something. The rest of the world won't consider you economically vibrant or relevant. You won't be able to buy anything, and you won't be able to fend for your family. This is just where it is, the truth, plain and simple. So check out that article. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Posted that one there for you so that you can see. 99.5% in cash. Boy, you're done. Next article comes from Natural News. Hay fever drugs found to block the body's ability to heal. Check out that article. Very important one. But the most important one, one of the most important ones was this Charles Schwab one. But here's the most important article, probably the most important article of the weekend. And my commentary, man, I hate to say that I said that I told everyone this was coming. House defense policy bill will require women to register for the draft. Why do you think that they need to register for the draft, ladies and gentlemen? Because they got a war with the million man army of China on their hands. And I'm going to tell you, a land without men is barren. A land without men is occupied, but a land without women is barren. We talked about this the very first show on Tando Radio Show, and was telling you all that this was coming. Here it is. And many of you have not taken a lot of advice to the things that we've been telling you. It's going to be too late relatively soon. And the thing about that is that you would have known what was coming and you did nothing about it. And now you will have to shoulder the consequences of knowing something and not appropriately responding to it. They are going to draft your daughters. They are going to attempt to draft. They're going to legalize the drafting of the daughters. When they first came out with, they wanted to give equal opportunity so women could be in command staff right away. I told you all that this is what they're doing. This is the civil rights that they're using against you. The worst thing that ever happened to people of color, black people in this country, was the civil rights. Forget what the schools were telling you. You've never read the civil rights to see why it's the worst thing. And now they gave you the false appearance that they wanted to give women and minorities opportunity. Yes, women and minorities opportunity to serve them and to give their life and die. Ways and means. Your way of life provides for their means of life. This is one of the a part of the depopulation program. And the sad thing is that we are foolish enough to fall for this. I want to say something else, but we are, because we keep begging somebody to give us freedom. When you already were given the free will that you make decisions with by God Almighty, you're already free. Stop cowering away from it. Stop taking what man is going to give you, the falsehoods of the conference that they'll give you, thinking that you can't stand up to City Hall. Who the hell is City Hall that can go against your free will? Oh, only if the person surrenders it, because they're weak. I'm just telling you how it is, like it or not. This is where we are. My whole tone, initially when it started talking about this thing, was just trying to show you different things. But my whole tone is totally has to change now, because it's just too darn important. The people that don't want to be prepared, get away from them. Those people are dangerous and they're going to be deadly. The people that will ignore what's going on, those individuals are going to be dangerous and they're going to be deadly. That is the truth of the whole thing. And it requires an appropriate response from you. And it's up to you if it's important or not. But once this thing kicks off, it'll be too late for it to be relevant in your lives any longer. Now you're going to have to respond to the crisis that's at hand, instead of anticipating it and seizing the opportunities from it. You will be dealing from a position of weakness if you haven't started to prepare. For those of you that have, continue. Now, this article, speaks volumes as to what it is. At some point and at some time, I would say to you fathers, what is your greatest responsibility to your daughters? Is to protect them, is to nurture their capabilities so that they can actually produce in a benevolent manner and be a benefit to not only to you, but to everything, not only to your family, but to everyone around them. And I want to say this to the fathers. Whatever excuses that you've ever had for not preparing, none of them are relevant or hold water. They're just an excuse. And mothers, at some point, at some time, you're going to have to stop looking for security and start establishing security from within your home. Because if you don't, we will lose generations and generations of people. You have bore and protected our children, but that process of protection cannot end by you continuing not to protect the nation. And don't go by what the mainstream media has falsely trapped us all in. It won't come by a march. It won't come by celebrity figureheads. It won't come by their governmental institutions. And it won't come by their programs on television. And it won't come by somebody taking care of the family. It will only come by the persistence and the relentless spirit that a mother has to protect their their children. And I'm going to tell you, mothers, this one is going to require that you protect them like never before. And if you can't do it, get out of the way. Totally get out of the way. Men, if you can't do it, get out of the way. Young people, if you have parents that aren't preparing, you prepare. You do what you can. Don't have any excuses, because there will be none that will be accepted in the direction that we're going. You work your butt off right now in the smallest things that you can do. You align yourself with different people that you know that are preparing, that you can trust. At some point, at some time, sometimes the children have to leave the foolishly naive parents to some form of stability, because a lot of us are too caught up in the rat race trying to make it to the next 2 weeks. You need to stop and look around and see what's going on and reprioritize everything. There's no greater threat to the existence of our community than drafts. Because who do they always grab first? Who pays the biggest price? And you're not going to do it. I don't care what sorority you're in. I don't care what organization you're in. They're all full of it. And half of them have no clue as to what the hell is going on in the world right now. And if you don't change your directions by your family immediately, you're going to lose your daughters. And this is just the truth. I don't care how you feel about me, but I know one thing. I will never, ever, ever bow my knees to let someone destroy my daughter. I'll leave that for the other cowards in the world. There's plenty of them. But as for here, and as for us, no. Not only no, but hell no. There isn't anything that they can do to me for me to surrender my daughter. And if you are men out there, you can't speak that language, you can't take that position, that's because your spines are weak and your overall manhood is in question. There's many a cowards among us. A lot of people talk, but most people will sell out even their daughters for 3 silver coins, the kiss of Judas. Me, I'm not going for it. The people that I know, not going for it. Plenty of people will sign up that will believe the lie and everything else. In generations of that, we will lose multiple generations because of it. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. But got to get into today's show. But this was the most, I'm not surprised. Talked about it, told you it was coming. Told you how it was going to be. Told you they were going to draft your daughter. Now it's time for you to really, nothing else really matters now. There is nothing, there isn't anything that's higher on the priority list than you preparing for what's coming. Regardless of what your economic, physical, mental state is, there is nothing more important, because it's not about you. It's not just solely about you. It's really about generational stability. They're going to come up with all the reasons patriotic reasons, all of the military worship that they're going to do to get you to sacrifice your daughters. Is it really that easy? Why don't you just put your daughters out on the corner then and just leave them? Because that's what so many of us will do if we allow this to go through. If this war is going to be that important, all of the celebrity figureheads in Washington, take your over there and whoever, and y'all duke it out. But as for me and mine, your freedom stops where mine begins. And that is the stand that I'm going to take, regardless of who's around. I don't need to be in the midst of many. I don't need to follow the crowd. All I need to do is follow my moral convictions individually. And as for mine, no. Absolutely not. So next article comes from Reuters. Deutsche Bank control over financial crimes. Really good one, The Purge. Want to hurry up? Then there was a Bitcoin article. The guy that created Bitcoin, Craig Wright, reveals as Bitcoin's creator. Let me tell you something about Bitcoin. It's the perfect enslavement tool because it's a digital currency. Crazy. Next article. Hillary approves sending Syria to Syrian rebels. CERN to Syrian rebels. Today's show. And today's show is, are you feeling what's happening and look at what's, and are you looking at what's coming? The Cuban Connection said, you don't want to miss this show. Very important. Next one, oil. This comes from oilprice.com. Let's stop pretending nuclear power is commercially viable. Next article, the amazing story of the behind the Chernobyl suicide squad that helped save Europe. Check out that article. Next one, America hasn't gotten a raise for 16 years. The next article, the illusion of democracy in the modern world. I'm going to run out of time. Got to hurry up. Next one, White House struggles to explain weak economy as Obama boosts for job growth. Next article, Prince's estate was the first probate hearing today. That's why I won't be supporting anything else from that, because if it's not going to follow, then I'm not going to participate. Next article, this comes from the Pentagon. War crimes must be international. You're right. It's amazing how one person kills one person, they call him a murderer. But if you're a government official, you can engage in war that is nothing more than mass murder, and they call you a president, a prime minister, a king, a politician, and they name schools and everything after you. Save it. You can fool that. You can give that story to fools. Real thinking people don't buy that crap no more. Next article. Voting machines are wrong. Video evidence. You can see the rigging there. Next article. Supreme Court just made government hacking much easier. Next one, Bill Gross, smart investors know something is wrong. Check out that article. Here comes some major ones. Puerto Rico Development Bank won't make most of the debt payment today, Monday. Puerto Rico is in default. Next, why China is really dictating the oil supply glut. Why? Because they control the global economy now. Next article, here it comes. Lou urges Congress to act on Puerto Rico debt to avoid bailouts. 2008 on steroids is here, everyone. We told you that this was going to come. We told you this was going to come. This is major. The biggest fight for Treasury Pitt's Citadel against Citigroup. They all want to dump. And here comes another one. U.S. considering rotating ground forces to Eastern Europe to deter Russia. Means you're going to have armed confrontation with Russia. Major stories of this week is the going to have drafting of women And Secretary Liu is petitioning Congress. They do an exact same thing that they did in 2008. Bail them out or else it's going to be martial law. That's basically what's saying. Do you see that everything is falling apart around you? You better have a response, an appropriate response to it all. If you need business or personal funding, you could contact me and I can actually help you with some of that. 951-790-8330. You can text me or email me at wolfsixpack1@gmail.com. That is what you can actually use to prepare for what's coming. You can fund your business, and then you can also leverage some of that for your overall preparedness so that you can get the things that are necessary, the assets that are going to collateralize the new economy so that you will be able to engage in it. And you won't be subject to it from a position of disadvantage. If that's something that you want to do, contact me. If you're not going to do that with us, that's cool. But you better do something now while you still can, because the comfort that you sit in is momentarily. The pain of not responding, ignoring reality, the consequence of ignoring reality is upon you, is upon us. You just will dictate how the consequences will see you and how it will play you. So it's always up to you. So listen, we got to go to a commercial break. Ran a little long, but you're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, then hit *61. When we come back, we're going to play this video that is so important about Cuba. Why? Because you are what you know is the United States is going to be the new Cuba, and I'm going to tell you that just before we come back out of the break, what it is. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#, 549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and we are live today, and we are talking about the Cuba connection. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call, the Cuba connection, and why this is so important. Now, we're going to go to a couple of videos real quick, but the reason why I wanted to play the Cuba – what is the Cuba connection? Well, right now, if you look at Cuba as we speak, during the embargo – the Cuba was locked in 2015, 2016, 2014. They were locked into the 1950s. Their vehicles were all 1950. They didn't 1950s. They didn't have the infrastructure that the rest of the world had. They were basically locked and stuck in the 50s. Since 1950 up until now, almost 70 years later, 70 years later, and they're still living in the same technology with the same cars and everything else, and the poverty was just crazy. And the connection that we need to really understand is that as we speak right now, you don't know it, but let me tell you what's really happening. The rest of the world and the particularly the BRIC nations are actually embargoing and sanctioning the United States. And pretty soon, the vehicles that you see now will be on the road with no technology and anything else 70 years from now. Because the rest of the world is moving away from doing business. See, the thing with Cuba was it was only one nation that held the embargo against Cuba, the small island of Cuba, and that was the United States. Other countries could actually go there, vacation, and do other things, but they just couldn't actively trade as much with them. But see, this is the big difference. The whole world is going to embargo the U.S. So where in the world are you going to get the things that are so necessary that are no longer made here in this country? If you really want to look at where we're going and what's happening here, all you got to do is look at Cuba. Now you need to magnify that by 1,000. Because China's already said that no one will be able to go into the new renminbi, go into the new renminbi by way of the U.S. dollar, either converting in or converting out of the dollar. And that means that everyone else in the world, in order for them to do business, they're going to have to drop the U.S. dollar, never to use it again. Because then they wouldn't be able to trade with China, who is manufacturing everything, along with Germany, along with other countries that are manufacturing, the ASEAN nations, all of them will be actively engaged in the embargo. So what you saw in Cuba, you're going to see here, but it's going to be far, far worse. Far worse and more extensive. Other countries will come here to actually use you and use the resources that are here for their family's benefit, for their national benefit, and for their sovereign wealth. If you don't position yourselves accordingly to what the new economy is going to be based in, they're not going to look at you for anything. They're going to use you for everything. There's going to be a war. The U.S. will lose it. And guess what? You will have to pay the reparations for the lost war the U.S. started. That you started. The ramifications of this is great. The signals of it are beyond warning. It is almost too late to prepare. At the appropriate time, I will not be on the radio. At the appropriate time, I will not be on the radio. Will be no need. The yo-yo effect will go into effect, will go into place. You're on your own. You're on your own with the people that you've aligned with. You're on your own with the people that you started to prepare with. And that's what you're going to have to rely on. So when I say look at the Cuba connection, I'm going to go to this video. Listen to what some of the Cuban people had to go through. This is going to be multiplied many folds here. The whole world is going to go against the U.S. and the U.S. will lose. And in that loss, they're going to make you buy what the rest of the world is selling. And guess what? You won't have the purchasing power in order to get things brought into this country because, one, no one will bring anything to this country because they'll be banned from doing business with you. And it will be a war, so it'll be trading with the enemy. And not only that, the overall trade lanes will be unstable because of war. Either way it goes, your just-in-time delivery system that we have in the United States will never come. It just won't come. Instead of just-in-time, it just won't come because everything will be severed. You need to make ready for that. So let's check out this video. It's a good one. Here we go.
Havana, Cuba's socialist capital, an architectural jewel starved the funds for its upkeep by decades of U.S. sanctions. But now relations with America are improving. Is this beautiful but crumbling city about to experience a speculator-led revival? In the last of three special reports on Cuba's growing accord with capitalism, Juliana Rufus goes in search of the winners and losers from Havana's property renaissance.
This is a slum tenement in Old Havana, Cuba. The residents want us to see how they're living. Half a century ago, when Fidel Castro's revolutionary forces entered the capital Havana, it was the lives of the poor that the new leader promised to improve by putting an end to capitalist excess. One of Castro's key measures was the elimination of the property market as a lucrative business. Housing was declared a human right, private rental was abolished, and the majority of Cubans were given free properties to live in. But with the U.S. embargo declared on the revolutionary island and its finances dependent on an inefficient, state-driven economy, the government ran out of money. Vast parts of Havana fell into decline. In a radical move, the government opened up the economy in 2011 and property laws were reversed. Cubans were allowed to buy and sell their homes once more. The government says its revolutionary vision hasn't changed and that the reforms are aimed at keeping rather than dismantling socialism. But does the reintroduction of private property bring changes for Havana's urban poor? And how will the government deal with a wealthy new class that the regime once fought so hard to defeat? Plaza de Armas, Havana's oldest square. We've arranged to meet Aline Robaina, chief architect for the Office of the Historian. It's a branch of the government responsible for the rehabilitation of Havana's historical center.
It all started right here in this space. This is the square where the first archaeological works were developed. This is the area where the historian's office was settled as an office.
It's an immensely powerful institution which publishes a master plan that serves as a blueprint for Havana's development. At its core is the idea of using income from tourism to fund the renovation of the city. And in 2011 alone, it generated $120 million in revenue. Here at the Plaza Vieja, some of the old mansions have been developed into businesses.
Few of them had slums, very poor housing in very bad conditions in the 1980s. And when they were fixed, they were converted into microbrewery, for example, that was occupied by a lot of families.
But it is also the goal of the master plan to keep as many of the original residents as possible living in the city center.
That still has housing, but instead of having 50 families living in a very poor, overcrowded condition, now we have 5 or 6 apartments, and these people, these families, pay rent to the government, but it's subsidized.
Aileen takes us to see a family who have been allocated a renovated apartment. The Perez family have been living here since Maylene Perez pleaded hardship with the Office of the Historian.
Llegamos para un cambio de casa, de apartamento, de habitación, como se hace aquí, dado la necesidad de la del lugar donde vivíamos, que no tenía las mejores condiciones, ya yo tenía una niña pequeña.
Both Perez are working for the tourism industry and earn a competitive wage. But the average Cuban is employed by the state and earns just $25 per month.
The subsidy system means that the Perez family's monthly rent is fixed at 4% of the state salary, or just $1.
Amamos su comodidad, su espacio, lo céntrico que está. Realmente tiene una vista muy bonita, que lo pudiste contratar. Y estamos tranquilos y cómodos aquí, es una zona tranquila realmente. Eso nos gusta mucho.
But back in the square, we find out that the current economic changes do make it harder to keep the original residents in the city. Increasingly, housing is converted privately into cafes and bars.
Some of the families that used to live in these upper floors owned their places. And according to the law that we have right now, places that are in private ownership can be sold. So these families have been tempted because they have been offered very large amount of money for their spaces, because there is a big demand for this lovely area surrounding the Colonial Square.
Further down the road, the government is building new apartment blocks.
And who will be given the housing in the new building?
So probably the families that live around in some of the slums nearby will get this new housing so we can come to these buildings in order to start rehabilitation.
Suddenly an argument arises. A group of local residents fear being pushed out by the new businesses.
No digas eso, chico. No digas eso, que tú no sabes. They're saying they don't trust they're going to get the apartment. No se sabe.
Vamos a salir con las cámaras, la verdad, no se sabe a quién se lo va a
dar.
No se sabe, no se sabe a quién se lo va a dar.
¿Tú sabes cuál era lo bello? ¿Tú sabes cuál era lo bello? Esta gente que están aquí, que viven toda una vida aquí, que sus hijos nacieron aquí, que tienen sus escuelas aquí, no lo manden para Cambute, no lo manden para la Yuca. ¿Entiendes? Que lo manden pie enfrente.
Porque al final tiene que ver.
Ahí, lo
al final tiene que ver cómo es que viven las personas aquí adentro. Al final eso es lo que tienen que ver.
Over 40 families live in this former mansion. Nicolás Sánchez takes us around. 200,000 out of Havana's 2.2 million residents live in conditions like these. There's no rent to pay, but it's incredibly cramped. Nicolás's relatives have partitioned one large room to house two families.
Esto es una sola casa, ¿no? Mira esto aquí, porque esto no existía. Lo ve como lo estamos construyendo, porque de lo mismo que sobra en la construcción enfrente. Porque mira cómo vivimos. Que el Estado no repara, tenemos que repararlo nosotros.
Baño ese, sí. Tiene salidero completo, no tengo donde bañarme.
Todo lo que cae de arriba, mira que hay para abajo.
Eso se moja. De allá arriba, del otro piso más arriba, constantemente.
Nicolás's mother Manta was given the original room by the Castro government after the revolution.
Yo vine de Oriente, yo fui combatiente de la sierra.
Suponía que era algo para que vivan, pero no que la familia sea proliferar así tanto. Porque cuántos niños somos nosotros.
Sí. Hay un enfermo con convulsiones.
Cuatro hembras y dos varones.
They have added an extra floor to sleep on.
De arriba cae agua. Entonces yo tenía el escaparate ahí, que era donde ponía la ropa, y se me mojó todo y tuve que botar el escaparate. Y botar muchas cosas porque no tengo donde poner la ropa ni nadie, entonces mira cómo la tengo linda.
Manta's epileptic son is resting on his bed. On the other side of the partition is Manta's granddaughter.
Analí. Analí, te llama una muchacha.
Analí lives on the other side with her mother, Mary Lady. I ask Mary Lady if she has tried to get a job in the tourism industry, but she says it's tough unless you have connections.
Para poder entrar a trabajar, ay, no es que ahí sí, hay veces que te llaman y te dicen sí puedes trabajar, pero hay veces que tienes que pagarlo el que tienes para poder entrar a trabajar en turismo. Si no, por gusto no puedo.
Thank you. When we see Eileen again, she says she can understand the residents' complaints.
Perfect situation would be to have enough new housing to give to all of them. But there are many limitations.
So do you think people are suspicious that the government will not act in their interest?
No, I wouldn't say suspicious. The problem is that they have been waiting for a solution to their problem for a long time. We haven't been efficient enough to solve them for practical reasons, because the country has made priorities in education or healthcare, and then housing has been waiting too long.
Havana's authorities are facing an uphill struggle to preserve the city. Not just overcrowding and structural alterations, but also damage caused by the high humidity are making buildings unsafe. It falls to Julio Rosado Varela, the city's chief building inspector, to decide which houses are so unsafe that they need to be destroyed.
Existen elementos que están construidos posterior que afectan como tal estructuralmente la edificación, como son estas vías que se proyectan a la fachada, que son elementos que han construido la misma población, que está ilegal, que no tiene ninguna razón de ser ilegal.
It hits people on the streets as well when it falls down.
Sí, claro, si proyecta y hay alguien pasando, le puede ocurrir un accidente, le puede matar a la persona. Porque...
Last year alone, one building collapsed in Havana every second day.
Esto se entra a demoler porque aparte de estar en mal estado, es un agrego a la edificación original como estaba. Los usuarios entendieron de hacer un entrepiso de viga de billete y bovedilla. Pero en realidad, aunque bueno, aparentemente se ve muy fuerte a la hora de la demolición, pero está en mal estado, entonces por eso hay que demolerlo de todas maneras.
The inspector says the demolition will take its men 3 or 4 days.
It really hurts to see this. It's quite painful.
Sí, que estamos eliminando una vivienda, una residencia de alguna persona que hubo que trasladar o que hubo que ubicar en otro lugar y que no tiene las mismas condiciones y eso es un poco difícil.
How many houses do you think need destroying and, you know, how can you deal with this problem?
Aquí hoy en el momento en La Habana hay bastantes casas de moles, muchas. Estaríamos hablando de miles.
He said thousands and thousands of homes have to be destroyed.
Recognizing Cuba's urgent need for more housing in the 1960s, the Castro government began building Soviet-style prefabricated satellite cities, with several of them located around Havana. Once highly desirable, today they have become the destination for those who can no longer be housed in the capital. Luis Rodriguez and Felix Sanchez moved to Alamar 15 years ago when their building in Old Havana was turned into a hotel. The government gives families here free apartments, but for many, property ownership is a small consolation for a big transition. Was it difficult to come here from Old Havana? Was it a difficult change for you?
Al principio, sí. Al principio era un cambio porque ya estaba adaptado a amistades, los lugares me quedaban más cerca, más céntricos. Y ahí, cuando vine para acá, era totalmente diferente. Todo era totalmente diferente. Ya me fui poco a poco, a través de pasos, los años de eso, después fui conociendo más personas, hice nuevas amistades y fui mejorando, ¿entiendes?
Luis works at a nearby refinery, and it turns out that Felix is in construction, building houses for those who still arrive from Havana. We've asked them to take us to meet the latest arrivals.
Hola.
Juliet Hernandez had to leave Havana 3 months ago. Her home became unsafe after a building collapsed next door.
Estaba casualmente peinándome para irme para trabajo. Y cuando sentí el estruendo, fui corriendo ahí a tratar de salvar a las personas. Y yo fui que saqué al niñito del año y a la mamá. Que nos mandaron para aquí para la madre. Mi vida me cambió. Drásticamente, completamente me cambió.
The government has given Juliet and her children this 3-bedroom flat. So what was the choice that the government gave you?
No, ninguna elección. Para aquí, si no, íbamos para un albergue. Y rápido, los camiones estaban ahí abajo, no teníamos opción, teníamos que recoger y
Government told her to go to a shelter or take what they gave her. That was it.
Would have preferred a new home in Havana. Now it takes her 2 hours by bus to commute into work. Luis tries to cheer her up.
No, más o menos, al principio, o sea, como es todo extraño. Todo extraño. Como mismo te sientes tú, nos sentimos nosotros. La Habana es La Habana, como se hizo.
We have been hearing repeatedly about temporary shelters on the outskirts of Havana. We're trying to find one called La Yuca. Whole communities have been stuck in these camps for years, we've been told. We arrive and meet Dulce Maria Gutierrez and her friend Jamila León.
Hola. Hola. Juliana.
Juliana, Dulce.
Dulce, ¿cómo te gusta?
Jamila.
Ella es de La Habana Vieja también.
The women moved to La Yuca together with 6 other families when their house in Old Havana collapsed.
Aquí vamos ahora en estos momentos para allá.
The family of 5 shares one room.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Dulce gets a little extra income from selling homemade ice cream. But lack of housing isn't the only problem here. The women also complain about lead in the soil surrounding the camp and environmental pollution from a nearby factory.
Ha habido muchos problemas de salud. Pero no
so there's a lot of health problems because of the lead in the water.
Hace mucho tiempo diciendo que todavía está rota. Y eso es otra contaminación porque son aguas negras, se vierten.
Because of raw sewage.
Muchos niños que le salían grano y empezamos a preocuparnos. Y bueno, se ha ido, sí, impétigo y muchas alergias.
The women say that before the collapse of their old building, they had spent years writing letters asking to be rehoused. Ironically, it is only now that problems have been discovered in La Yuca that their dream of owning a house may finally become a reality. When or where, they don't yet know.
Do you think the government has the money to build new housing?
No. El dinero no lo tiene. Cuba no tiene. Intenciones tiene, pero realmente...
She said Cuba has a lot of will, but no funds to build.
No alcanza, entiendo. No es solamente Habana Vieja. Hay otros municipios que están muy viejos. Y presentan las mismas complicaciones constructivas. El deterioro es general, no es solamente Habana Vieja. Y el Estado no puede con todo.
The government hopes that allowing private real estate will help stimulate the economy. It's an opportunity that was taken up swiftly. In the first week of 2011 alone, 750,000 Cuban homeowners went to register their property. Every Sunday, one of Havana's main avenues, Prado, turns into an informal real estate market. Quite a few of the sellers here are putting their houses onto the market to generate cash that will allow them to set up a business. In a country that offers few formal lines of credit, this creates genuine new opportunities. But some of the most successful business ventures are opened by Cubans who have been drawn by the changes to return from abroad. Yadaguia runs Point to Cuba, one of Havana's most upmarket real estate agencies.
So this is the mansion built in 1933. It's an Art Deco house. It has 8 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms. This is the dining room. Has a lot of light, high ceiling. Beautiful marble on the floor.
A villa like this will set a buyer back around $850,000, and each successful sale adds new members to Havana's growing middle class. But Cuba's real estate is so attractive that the government has set limits. In order to keep the country's housing stock in Cuban hands, foreigners are restricted from buying most properties.
Who then are the people who are buying?
Mostly Cubans that live abroad are buying the most beautiful houses because they are the most expensive ones.
A staggering $1 billion is now flowing from American Cubans to their island relatives each year. It's a huge driving force behind the purchase of upmarket real estate.
As you see, the concept is very open. You have the living room, the dining room, and then access to the beautiful outdoor space. Here you can just relax.
Yolanda Fernandez is an industrial designer who lives between Cuba and Mexico. Being permitted to sell her property prompted her to invest money in its renovation. hoping a profitable sale will pay for a move abroad.
Me gustaría alguien que realmente la mantuviera.
Y la apreciara.
Hay algo que la gente que tiene mucho dinero y tiene mal gusto es una combinación horrible.
Sí,
y la pueden destruir en un minuto.
Yolanda's house used to look just like the one next door. And the hope is that investments such as these won't just pay off for the owners, they will also create income across the economy as a whole. But I'm about to meet a far bigger player who's also eyeing Havana's real estate. Hugo Cancio is a Cuban who fled the island to live in Miami during the times of economic hardship. Today, he's an entrepreneur and art collector. He has returned to Havana to speak to the government about a series of large investments.
This is where we come to get inspired, to get motivated, to understand, to feel, to smell Havana. Even in chaos, even in this colored city, I see, you know, a tremendous amount of beauty and opportunity.
Hugo publishes magazines on art and real estate and says he's about to launch tech startups.
Our website on Cuba.com is the most read website in the world about Cuba, and this is where journalists and editors do their jobs. Hola. Ding, ding.
As a Cuban-American and as the owner of a Miami-based holding company, Hugo says he is the perfect man to bring new business.
Who better than me? This is my country of origin. You know, I lived 35 years in the United States. I bring expertise, know-how, resources, and passion and love. That combination is a powerful combination.
Until the U.S. Congress lifts the economic embargo, it's difficult for American citizens to invest in Cuba. But
I wanted to stop it there real quickly because I wanted to say a couple of things before we go to the next video. What you see happening in Cuba is going to happen here, but it's going to be much bigger. You're going to see the economic collapse in this country, and all of the infrastructure will fall apart everywhere in this country. And people are going to not be, and places are going to be uninhabitable, and they're going to move everything around, and there are going to be outside investors that are going to come in at the appropriate time, not 2 years, not 3 years, not 4 years, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And they're going to start to buy when everyone that's bought now has had to sell because they couldn't hold on to because the economy here fell apart. And they will be selling everything that they have here in the United States for pennies on the dollar. There will be a major fire sale in this whole country on everything. And the people here will not be able to afford what the fire sale is for if you don't appropriately prepare. At the appropriate time, there will be foreign investors from another land that will come in and build up the great parts, I mean, the economically vibrant parts of this country, like New York City, like Miami, like Los Angeles, like New Orleans, all of the travel places. They will go clean it up, and those places will be for foreign people to go into vacation. And guess what? Every single person that you know that's still alive right now will be clamoring, fighting, killing to get the servant jobs for the travel industry. This is where we're going. This is what is going to happen. Why? Because that is what is in the plan. And the wealth transferring that's going to take place here is great, and why you need to prepare. So now, this is why I wanted to play Cuba, why they were moving all of those people, because everything was falling apart, and they were dependent upon the government, and the government has never been able to supply their needs because they said they were broke. Same thing is going to happen here, but far worse. but far worse. And you're going to pay for it both by sweat, tears, blood, and energy. But you won't be able to partake in it. The rest of the world will see America as the travel jewel of the world. Why? Because it'll be the cheapest place in the world to go for a vacation and get treated like a king, because you will come there with your currency and it will be worth billions here, because the U.S. dollar will have changed. They'll put a different person's face on it. Oh, they'll have Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King and all of those other things, but it won't be able to buy a darn thing on a global market. This is why they're changing it. And this is why they're forcing you to buy the debt. It's the rest of the world selling it. Can never be a buyer unless there's a seller. Can never be a seller unless someone is willing to buy. They're going to force you to buy the will of the sale. So now I want to go to how we're going to get here. And this is going to be John Williams. And I posted inside of Tando, Cuba for sale. Pretty soon is going to be America for sale. So this is why it's so critical for you to get the right assets now. If now is not the time to buy an asset that is going to be taken from you, or one that you're going to have to sell because you can't afford to keep it. And you're going to sell it for pennies on a dollar. Here goes John Williams. Listen to this. This is how we're going
to
get.
Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. We're this economist, the economist that founded ChattelStats.com. His name is John Williams. John Williams, thank you for coming to us from California.
Greg, thank you for having me.
Listen, one of your big themes has been, it's been hard timing this thing because as we now know, everything is fraudulently propped up, everything from Forex to LIBOR to gold and silver. Thank you, Deutsche Bank, for admitting that you rigged that as well. What you're looking at is a perfect storm. You have long said that, you know, we have all these assets held outside the country, 16 trillion liquid U.S. dollar assets. And Josh Earnest, when talking about this Saudi Arabia, who's very angry over this Iran deal, that's not a deal, talking about just them selling, you know, less than $1 trillion worth of U.S. assets, bonds, that could crash the system. What I'm saying is that the White House is basically reverberating your idea that when people start selling these liquid assets, the system's going down. Let's talk about that.
Well, when the people start selling the dollar or the dollar-denominated assets, you'll see the value of the dollar plunge. We've had a remarkable rally in the dollar actually since mid 2014. It was up over 30%, I think it was. We're going down by more than that. We're going to be heading to new lows, but we have a circumstance now where because of the waffling of the Fed in the beginning, much broader perceptions that the economy is in serious trouble, which generally would be a negative for the dollar, we have started to see some selling pressure on the dollar. It's been inching lower. It's down year to year now, obviously against where it was last year, but the selling is going to intensify, not only with large central banks beginning to dump their treasury holdings, which have a major impact, but also corporations.
So Saudi Arabia wouldn't be alone. If they started selling, wouldn't everybody look around and go, well, we're selling too?
Nobody wants to be the last one out the door when you have a panic like this. It's not a panic yet. But the potential certainly is there, and as the dollar selling intensifies, you'll see inflation impact coming from factors such as higher oil prices. Now, I mean, there's an oil glut right now, but oil's denominated in U.S. dollars, and the effect is that there's about an 80% correlation with movement in the dollar versus oil, a negative correlation, so that when the dollar weakens, oil prices rise. And where we've had low gasoline prices, and that has helped keep the official CPI number basically flat, in some cases negative. That's all of a sudden starting to pick up a little bit because gasoline prices are going higher. Looks like oil has bottomed out, and that was.
Consequently, it looks like the dollar has topped out here.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Right, because this is directly tied to the dollar, not so much to basic supply and demand of oil. It's the dollar in which it's denominated.
That explains, like, wow, we all this news about, wow, there's a glut, there's a supply build, there's all these tankers and but yet the price has been rising from 28, 29 up to 40, 44, 45, 43, bouncing around in the 40s now.
Yeah. Well, you're going to see a movement to price oil in something other than the dollar. If you're going to be dumping dollars and the dollar is going to go down in value, and I'm looking at this, let's say, from the standpoint of Saudi Arabia, which has been threatened. You're dumping the dollars, but at the same time, you're receiving your oil revenues in dollars.
You think that a yuan oil fix, the petro yuan, is coming?
Well, that or some basket of currencies. I don't know what it's going to be, but the move once they move away from pricing oil in the dollar, that's going to accelerate the dollar's decline. And other commodities will tend to rise in price, in particular gold and silver, which we've been talking about for some time.
Well, they're trying to crush it. Of course, the Chinese have an answer to that, the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which also sells gold, silver, platinum. I want to talk to you a little bit about your speculation about this big meeting a few weeks ago. Emergency meetings with the president, vice president, Janet Yellen, Federal Reserve Board, presidents, governors, meeting, emergency, sequential meetings a couple of weeks ago. Could you be our fly on the wall and speculate as to what Yellen was telling the president and vice president about what was going on? Could you just give your speculation? And we're going to just deem this speculation. So give us your speculation. What Janet Yellen walks in and says, hello, Mr. Vice President. Hello, Mr. President. Well, let's get right to it. What does she tell him?
I don't know what she told him, but I think she's got a pretty good sense of what's really happening to the economy. And I would assume that's what they talked about. The economy is in terrible shape. It's we're seeing an accelerating downturn, although it hasn't been reported yet in the GDP. We're getting very close to that. Come July, you'll have an annual benchmark revision to the GDP. It takes it back several years. You'll see that GDP growth has been a lot weaker than has been reported. You're going to see some negative quarters there, and I think shortly after that you'll have a declaration of or having been in a formal recession. But consider industrial production. Now, that's a series that's published by the Federal Reserve. I think that's what had Janet Yellen very concerned at the time of the last FOMC meeting. And she said, we'll have to watch the economy. What they released then was a benchmarking of the industrial production, which gets built into the GDP. And what happened with that was that where the industrial production, up to the point of its revision a month ago, it had recovered from the recession, like the GDP, and was above its pre-recession high. After the revision, the revisions were sharply to the downside. Not only do you now see a sharp plunge in the in industrial production on a quarterly basis, on a year-to-year basis, and we're now down two quarters on a year-over-year basis since 1919, when the production series was first started by the Fed. That has never happened outside of a formal recession. We have a formal recession. But she could see this. But what happened with revisions, and you don't hear people talking about it, but the numbers are there. The industrial production revised lower so that it no longer has recovered from back in 2007. It has never recovered its pre-recession high, and it's turning down again.
So Yellen's telling the president, A, the economy's not doing well. We're not going to be able to raise rates. But, you know, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, if we don't raise rates, the dollar's going to tank. So, and if we don't raise rates and the dollar tanks, we'll have inflation. And if we do raise rates, the economy is going to just already knows it'll go straight down. It will go under free fall. Do you think that's what Yellen told the president and vice president? We're damned if we do. You've said this about devil choices, that they're all bad choices. Do you think we got down to this choice, raise rates or not raise rates?
I don't think that's the problem. They could raise rates and it might actually help things a little bit, but they don't know what to do. They don't have a way out of the panic of 2008. In 2008, the banking system was on the brink of collapse. They decided at that point in time to do everything that they had to, create whatever liquidity, make whatever guarantees were needed, bail out whatever entity had to be bailed out in order to prevent the system from collapsing. They did nothing to address the underlying problems that led to the crisis. But all they did was buy some time. They pushed it a couple of years into the future. The rest of the world's done the same thing. Now you have central bankers in Europe going with negative interest rates. They're looking to, instead of buying government bonds, they're buying corporate bonds. They have never figured out how to stabilize the system. They don't know what to do. They can't. What they will not do is let the banking system collapse. And that means they're going to keep providing whatever liquidity has to be provided.
If it comes down to killing the dollar,
it's going to kill the dollar. This excess liquidity eventually will trigger inflation, and it's a problem that they really don't have a way out of. They could have let the system collapse, and you would have had a deflationary Great Depression, such as Bernanke was talking about, was scared about. But for that to happen, the banking system has to fail and people have to lose their money. A lot of people are talking about a deflation here because of a debt collapse, all sorts of defaults. The collapse of debt, people not paying their debts, does not necessarily create a deflation. What creates the deflation is a contraction of the money supply. The reason that happened back in the 1930s was the banks went out of business and people lost their deposits. There was no FDIC insurance. Your cash just disappeared. It was gone. And the money supply shrank by a third and the economy shrank by a third. That's what they were afraid was going to happen back in 2008, and they did everything to prevent that from happening. The other end of it, though, is that you're opting there for a long-term inflationary problem. We already had one that was in place, I've been talking about for years, because the U.S. has been living beyond its means. And what they did to try and counterbalance part of that was to boost the dollar. And how did they boost the dollar? Despite all the easings they had put into place had weakened the dollar. Then they started talking about reversing the easings. Oh, we're going to raise rates. And I don't know what the exact timing was, but they were talking about raising rates for at least a year, maybe close to two. And every time they wanted to boost the dollar, you'd have one of these guys. The Fed officials are playing good cop, bad cop. That they're simply manipulating the markets with their comments. Oh, we're going to raise rates. Oh, no, the economy is too weak. We're not going to raise rates. And they played it back and forth, back and forth. Then we finally got a rate raise in December of this of 2015. And at that time, we're going to raise rates in March. Well, that disappeared very quickly.
Well, then we also had the worst start at the stock market in the stock market history in January. It cratered.
They're playing good cop, bad cop again. They don't know how to handle it. They have no way out. What's going to happen is there's going to be a crisis. There's going to be a major failure of the banking system. somewhere in the global community. They'll do whatever they have to do to prop that up. But with that, we'll go any charade that's being put forth as to, yes, we're going to contain this and keep inflation under control. What they're to save the system, they've got to accept the inflation, and in principle, that's what they've already done.
Well, if they start inflating the world's reserve currency, let's just play this out to the end. Don't the Saudi Arabians of the world say, we're not going to price oil in dollars. We're going to sell dollars. I mean, there's a dead end here, is there not? I mean, they can't keep doing this in perpetuity, right? Isn't there a dead end if they keep making this choice, like you're saying, they're going to prop up the banks? They can do it as long as the dollar doesn't blow up. Am I right about that? Explain.
Well, the dollar will blow up, or when I say blow up, it'll collapse. There'll be panic selling of the dollar, and that will intensify the inflation. The problem is that they don't have a way of avoiding. Now, if they can somehow get the economy back on track, they would have some room to work with things, but the economy's never recovered. And that's being seen now in these revisions. My goodness, the end of this week, we're going to see benchmark revisions to retail sales. This happens every year. And what happens with these benchmark revisions traditionally, as they get better quality numbers, is that the numbers get revised lower. The reason being that the headline reporting always has upside biases built into it because they don't want to underreport economic growth. Overreporting is okay from a political standpoint, but underreporting is a political embarrassment. So that as they revise the numbers, they get the harder numbers, and they've got retail numbers from, I think it's a retail census of 2012 that should have been published a couple of years ago, but it somehow got lost in the shuffle with one of the government shutdowns. So you're going to see some downside revisions to the retail sales. Now you have it with the industrial production, you're going to have it with the retail sales. We're very close to turning negative with the first quarter GDP. The numbers are there. I mean, you had a quarterly contraction in industrial production for the first quarter. You had it for real retail sales. You had it for housing starts. The merchandise trade deficit got worse. Those are all basic fundamentals that are negative for the GDP reporting.
That's the headline. This is the headline. Dallas Fed said the GDP was 0.1%. I imagine your numbers say it's lower than that.
These guys don't like to come out with negative numbers. But what happens here, and we should, if it were being reported straight and people were playing it straight on Wall Street, you'd see a contraction in the number that comes out on Thursday of this week.
And then we'd be in a recession right here now.
Well, we are. They'd be inclined probably to call it once they get a contracting GDP, because everything else is beginning to show that. But what happens is the Bureau of Economic Analysis tends to follow the consensus. And their first guess, and it is largely a guess, they figure there's some value to the consensus estimates, because they're picking up something they're not. There's no great value to the consensus. But what they do when they find that they're getting a much weaker number than the consensus is, if the consensus is not looking at a contraction, which it's not yet, or at least not openly, they'll signal to the consensus it's a lot weaker. A year ago, we had the same thing happen. First quarter contracted, but they first reported it up, I think it was 0.2%, because the consensus wasn't looking for it. So there's a signal to the consensus, hey, the numbers, we're coming out with a GDP that's weaker than you're looking at. You better lower your forecast, and the consensus went negative. Then the second report had a 0.7% contraction. Then come the benchmarking in the middle of last year, that actually pulled it back into positive territory. But that's going to go back into negative territory with this year's benchmark. Just let me finish this, that you'll see a pattern like that. And we're coming up now in a couple of days, so they've already set their number. they'll come in with something below what the consensus is looking at, but it'll still be positive, 0.1%, whatever. And then the consensus will turn negative, and they'll take it negative in the next report. Certainly by the benchmarking, we're going to have a number of negative quarters here that have been marginally, been marginal growth, and everything else had indicated they were negative. So when that happens, you're going to see a formal recession declaration following not too far down the road. It hasn't happened yet, but it will.
But your numbers, I always tell people these are the real numbers. These are the unfettered, no gimmicks. This is the real numbers. This is how they are when you don't try to, you know, massage them and make all kinds of gimmicks. But the real numbers, basically what you're telling us with all these, with everything back down to where it was, you know, with the crash and all that, you're telling us that the Fed and the powers that be sold us a grand lie, that we have no real recovery. Is that right?
Effectively, yes. There was a little bit of a bounce up, but the other numbers show that we never really had a recovery. And but that's not unusual. You have to, the story that the government puts forth does affect people's outlook. You want people to have a positive outlook.
So they lie to them.
So, I mean, by putting out a more positive forecast or reporting, it actually tends to boost the economy a little bit. So they don't want to come out with a negative forecast, but everyone knows it's not recovering.
How quickly could this go out of control? Because I'm going to come back to this meeting. I know you don't know what was said in the meeting, but come on. They emergency meetings with the president and vice president all in the same room, which they shouldn't do, supposedly. And Janet Yellen in there talking to the president and vice president, all these emergency meetings. What do you think they're seeing? Because they're having emergency meetings, unlike anything that you and I, as long as we've talked, we've never had a series of meetings like this. Well, so what do you think? Are they worried about a dollar sell-off?
I'm sure they are. But the problem, I mean, from the political standpoint, is that the economy is turning down rapidly. They have a new recession. What happened was as the economy plunged into 2007, that's what they show. They then show the economy rebounding with the GDP now up 10% above where it was before it before the recession. What happened was it plunged. You had maybe a little bit of bouncing, but generally it's been a low level of stagnation. And now what's happening is you're turning down again. And it's that turning down again. The GDP numbers are overstated, but occasionally the economy gets bad enough that the GDP actually gets pulled down in quarterly contraction. That's what's happening now. So that we're seeing a deterioration in the economy. Now that's bad from a political standpoint. It's always a weak economy, generally over time, has proven to be a big negative for incumbent politicians. You've been able to predict how a White House would go against an incumbent party if the economy or the income were up or down by a certain point. Right now, the circumstances are such that it would tend to favor a loss of the White House by the incumbent party, that being the Democrats. So the economy would tend to favor the Republicans here.
And you think they're starting to panic? Would that be a good way that with all these meetings, would you characterize that as they are panicking about something?
Well, for people who are bound up in the political process, this is as bad as the news gets from an economic standpoint. You do not want to have a deepening recession going into an election, because the electorate will tend to vote their pocketbooks. If you're the incumbent party, now it's usually the incumbent party that can take action to stimulate the economy. They don't have any options at the moment. And the Fed doesn't have any options. And at the same time, they're faced with still systemic solvency problems globally with the banking system.
So you're saying that they may have to just sit here and watch this thing crash?
I don't think they've got much in the way of other options. And believe it or not, sometimes the healthiest thing that can happen is to just let the system run its course, because it becomes self-correct. You go in there and you start propping here and propping here. You prop on one side, it starts throwing something else out of kilter. You prop on the other side, it throws something else out of kilter. It's as difficult as it may be, nobody wants to see a bad economy. But if you let the system take its hit, if you let the unhealthy banks fail, protect the depositors, but let the healthy elements of the system come forward and grow and thrive because they're being run better. Don't prop up the companies that have been so poorly managed that they're near bankruptcy. That just spreads the misery over time.
And you think we'll have just the year we had the hyperinflation? I mean, you had the warning shot across the bow. The Saudis, there's no way to unwind this Iran deal. It's over. It's the non-signature deal, which means it's the no-deal deal. Nobody signed anything. The Saudis are angry over it. And, you know, could there be a run on the dollar? Could there, and is there already a covert or overt selling of the dollar now? Because that seems to be your linchpin. When the dollar goes, it's over. Is that right?
Well, yes. But I'm talking a massive decline here. We haven't had a massive decline yet. We've been seeing some net selling pressure. The dollar continues to weaken, but it's not been an unstable decline. Have you seen the central banks, particularly the Federal Reserve here, would step in as you start to see heavy dollar selling to try and slow the pace to make it not appear like a panic. If you start to see a panic sell-off, that's a real bad sign. It means they're losing control of the system.
And you think that's coming?
I think that's coming. And the initial effect on the system for people living in the United States is that as the dollar crashes, you'll see inflation beginning to surge, particularly from oil, gasoline prices, and those effects will again begin to spread in the system. It changes the way people look at things and starts the process towards what eventually will be a hyperinflation, because they don't have a way out of the circumstance. They backed themselves into the corner. They've been keeping things reasonably stable, but they can't move off the ground. They can't get things going, and they're afraid to go back because of the downside.
They can't move off. But everybody else can move off, and they can sell these $16 trillion. That's what they have no control over.
And that's what is the big at the moment. Yes.
They're scared of everybody taking this $16 trillion held outside the system and sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be.
John Williams, ShadowStats.com.
Okay, everyone, I played that whole thing for the ending part. The thing is that they are not afraid of the $16 trillion in the M3 money supply that's held outside, the M2 and the M3 money supply that's held outside of the United States. They're not worried about that being sold off. They know that's going to be sold off, and it's being sold off as we speak. And he was being very conservative as to what that really means. And what that really means is that there is a bigger money, a bigger cash supply held outside of the United States that you don't see. And what that means is you don't see it. You only see within the money supply and then the strength that the outside money supply brings to your dollar here in the United States. And you see that by way of how cheap it is for you to buy gas, how cheap it is for you to live, how cheap it is for you to, even though you think that you're paying a lot, you're paying nowhere near what the rest of the world has to endure because of your cheap goods that you get to purchase and indulge in here in the States. So now when they sell off that all of that cash will come back here in the form of weakness, in the form of the floodgates of cash that will come in, and nothing will be valued at which you've ever seen it at before. Everything will the price of things will not go up. The value of the dollar will go down, meaning you will need more dollars. The gumball machine that you see at that has a quarter on it, it will require $3 for you to get one gumball. It's still the same gumball as it is right now at 25 cents. It's just that you need more of the cash to get it. Because that $16 trillion that's held outside, none of them want it. And it's not giving you any strength now. It's becoming weakness because you're holding it. And nobody else is. This is why you're going to see all kinds of programs. But the key is that you have to realize what you need to do at these times. This is the time for you to take advantage of programs and to save your hide by moving into what is going to have strength. What had strength today and what has perceived as weakness will be the strength of tomorrow. The dollar has been perceived as strength and it will be weak tomorrow. The real assets, some real assets of the world will be seen as weakness today, and they're going to be the strength of tomorrow because the switch of the economy has already happened. The U.S. had been the driver of the confidence in a debt instrument that the U.S. dollar was the strongest currency and it gave the most value. Now it is no longer because other people have come with a better deal. And the U.S. can't cut to compete with those deals. It's just like when you become a super big organization, you can't cut your overall price points unless without sacrificing and cutting off an arm of this division or cutting off the head over here without cutting. These other countries are coming in with a better product and they're producing it so they could sell it for whatever they want. The U.S. can't produce anything, so they have to buy what's in production. And this is what causes the divide that destroys. And this is why Secretary Liu is talking about we're going to have to come out with a plan to revise Puerto Rico before the bailouts happen, to bail out Puerto Rico. Let me tell you something. They've already said you from the Volcker report, from Paul Volcker, that there's no such thing as bailouts anymore. You got to do bail-ins. See, and these people are going to act like they didn't know that. Then they're going to say, oh, we can't do bailouts. Oh, we're going to have to bail everybody in. I'm sorry, ma'am, that $1,000 you had in your account, we're closed right now. Come back in 3 weeks. But in that meantime, we'll give you 25 cents. Would that be enough for you to cover all your expenses? No, it's not. Okay, we're going to give you 20. Now get out of the bank. This is where we are. The whole setup is done. But you better beat them at their game. And how do you do that? You better get the assets that have real confidence and has real value. And that is, you need to get food, you need to get water, you need to get protection, you need to get energy, you need to get the protection of your economic stability by silver and gold. But see, just buying silver and gold is not the end all. If you don't know how to use it, you won't have it for long. You're actually going to surrender it to someone that does know how to leverage it. Why we have the precious metals class. This is why we've been on this binge to teach you and get you ready for what's coming. Because once it starts, nothing else anyone else can do. now is going to play out, because everything is going to be unfolding so quickly. The value of the dollar is going to be fluctuating on a within days, within weeks, within days, within hours, within minutes. You will not see a price that will stay the same when the store opens by the time the store closes, if the store will stay open at all. You will see gasoline go from $8 a gallon from 1 hour and then change, and it's all going to be digital. It's all going to change digitally to where it's $12 a gallon. And this is where you're going to start to see where everyone is going to become instantly poor in this country. All it takes is for the dollar to lose just a very small of its purchasing power, and everybody you know becomes instantly poor. Why? Because they're barely making it now. Just a minor fluctuation in the dollar will mean everyone that you know is poor. This is why you need to prepare beforehand. They're giving you all of the warning signs. Saudi Arabia is saying they're going to sell their treasuries. Why? Because they've already sold them and they're going to continue to sell it. And when this dollar loses more value, I ask you, how many of you can withstand $12 a gallon, which you're still getting paid even less now? How are you going to get to work? How are you going to maintain your overall direction? We haven't been prodigious savers. And oh, guess what? Those of you that have been saving in the dollar, guess what? When the bank bail-ins come in, oh, thank you for holding on for those dollars for us. We used it to settle our debt. Your debt means nothing to us. We put you in debt. It really matters on what you do now and how you prepare yourself. If you would like us to help you, we can. If you need, well, I would say that you do need to respond to this before everyone else starts to prepare for it here in the States. You're already behind the rest of the world, the sovereign wealth funds. They've already prepared, and that has put you at a disadvantage. It already has. But to stop that, there are steps that you need to take. Puerto Rico is going to be a part of the implosion. The debt crisis that is going to come is going to be coming out of, in my opinion, is going to come out of Europe. We're going to have a banking holiday in Europe, and that is going to spread everywhere, and they're not going to be able to stop it, nor do they want to stop it. They want to crash the common person's economy. But let me tell you something. Don't you be the common person. You have to be extraordinary in thought and in process and in discipline. You can't follow the crowd. You can't follow the herd. Else you will be corralled and led to slaughter with them all. Some of the things that is critical in this, well, we're running out of time, but let me tell you before we get out of here, this whole thing is falling apart rapidly, but there are things that you can do. If you have a business, if you don't have a business, start one. Get funding for it. Use some of that funding to prepare. That way you remove the liability of default, because you have a real asset that can never go into default. And learn what to do with it. Just holding it, you just thinking that you can hold silver and gold and everything will be cool, you're dead wrong. Because you won't hold it for long. You won't hold it for long. You have to leverage it. You have to leverage it. You have to collateralize it. And there's a process in doing that. And there's a way and a mentality that you have to have in doing it. Running to the bank and getting all of their dollars and holding on to those dollars that they give you is just going to mean that you are going to drown sooner. Using the dollar and converting it into the asset is what you need to do. This is what we can help you with. You can text me at 951-790-8330. Much love, much respect to you all. And God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And God willing, we'll talk to you soon. Peace and love.
Gold's dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world.